Correct.
Just say again.
I will. Thank you, Moshe. Thank you. Started there at the Torreway in Northwest London. Thursday, Tanis Esther, Yud Gimel Ador, 13th of March, Rabbi Benny Blau Schlitter, the Artificial Intelligence of Purim, Part 2. This week's Torah with Sponsor Lin Nishmas, Rabbi Avraham Ben Ramodachai Zechon Lebrocha, whose Yahrzeit is on Shabbos, Veschus HaShvon V'Achayelim HaMelchamo HaShachzu Lebotahem L'Shalom B'Mehiro.
Good morning, thank you for coming. Just to briefly recap what we spoke about last week, so to perhaps understand the continuation. We asked various questions last week about Purim, just very briefly. Number one, why is there a chiyuv to get drunk on Purim? However you understand the halacha, but in varying degrees, but there definitely is a concept of drinking on Purim, and we said, like, what's this inyan of taking our seichel, our intelligence, which we prize so much? Seems like an antithetical thing to do in Yiddishkeit and to drink. Another question we asked was, why is it that specifically Purim, the Yalkut Shemayni says, is brought on the Rambam, it will still be around after Mashiach comes. All the Yom Tovim says the Yalkut will be in this battle, Purim will still be around. We said, what's so special about Purim, which is a Drabon, Divrei Kabbalah, but why will that be around as opposed to all the Yom Tovim min HaTorah? Another question we asked was that the Gemara in Shabbos says that we know that when Klal Yisrael were at Har Sinai and they accepted the Torah, so it says that Kof Aleim Har Kigigis, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu put the mountain, suspended the mountain on top of them, and he said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, Shom Tiyeh Kvoraschem. And the Gemara says, Mikan Moidot Rabot L'doi Reis. In other words, there's some sort of excuse that we can have that we were forced into accepting the Torah. And the Gemara carries on and says that Hodo Kiblu Abimei HaShverosh, even though then we sort of had an excuse, in the times of HaShverosh, we accepted the Torah willingly. And the question many Rishonim ask is that we know that by Har Sinai, we also accepted the Torah willingly. We said Nasa V'Nishma, and therefore, what was the difference between the Kabbalah HaTorah at the time of Har Sinai and the Kabbalah HaTorah at the time of Yimei Purim, at the time of HaShverosh? Finally, we asked, why is there such a focus on Purim, which of course the main focus on Purim is to give halal and hedor on the nest that happened to us and that solid for Klal Yisrael. So why is there such a focus on being marba achvo, vireos, matonis le'evyeinim, mishleach monois? Why is that such an integral part of Purim? Those are the questions we asked, and we started discussing, we went through the Vilna Gaon, we gave various examples, I haven't got time to do chazara on all of them now, but we gave various examples throughout the Megillah about how each posuk in the Megillah, almost each posuk, the Vilna Gaon says each posuk has a hidden reference to the nace that was going to transpire. Right? Megillah's Esther spanned 9 years. Spanned 9 years. You know, we look at the Megillah sometimes and think it all took place in a week. It took over 9 years, the Megillah's Esther. And had Esther and Mordechai not actually recorded it in Megillah's Esther, it's very possible it would have been lost. Right? For prosperity. We would never have realized the nace that happened. We wouldn't have connected the dots. You know, Vashti got killed, Esther became a queen. Haman, it would have been hard to connect. And the Vilna Gaon explains the Pasuk. It says, the Chazal say, Esther min ha-Torah minayim. What does it mean, Esther min ha-Torah minayim? Says Chazal, it brings the Pasuk in Parashat Vayelech, V'anoichi haste aste panaveyamahu. What's the connection? So the Vilna Gaon explains that from the Nes Purim, it means as follows. Esther min ha-Torah minayin. How do we know that even in a time of Golus, even in a time when there isn't Gilui Shechina, when there isn't Gilui Ponim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still looking after us and is still with us? And he says that we see from Megillas Esther. We see that even though it took place at a time of Golus, right? Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzias Mitzrayim and other Nisim took place in the time of Gula, or so to speak, expected. Whereas the Nes of Esther took place in a very hidden format, and it shows us that even if we don't realize it at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking after us in God's. And therefore, we've begun by at least answering the first question. We said that when we see Tzoros happening to us, especially in the last few years, but throughout all the years of Golus, it's very hard for us to understand. It's very hard for us to understand because ultimately, compared to Chochmas Hashem, our intelligence, great as it is very limited. We don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings tragedies, right? We don't understand these things. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. And therefore, Purim, we explained, is the day when we actually sacrifice, we are makriv our seichel, so to speak. In other words, we tell Hashem that we understand that all the tzaros that happened to Klal Yisrael have a reason behind it, there's a motive, it's all the steps for the Geula. And on Purim specifically, because that's the day when everything seemed to be going so wrong, and then v'nahafeichu, right, the first five prokim in Megillah, everything goes so wrong until b'layla ahu nozdosh shnas ha-melech, and things start going right, and we see how this pasuk connected to that pasuk, and how this had to happen because of that. We gave various examples last week. Therefore, Purim specifically is a time for us to understand that our intelligence is limited. And therefore, yes, we drink and we tell our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a day that we don't understand your ways. We're sacrificing our intelligence to show that Nakud, to show that point that everything is Biyad Hashem, and ultimately we don't understand everything going off. I heard a beautiful story from the Reb Baruch from Nezhbuz. They say that one day his grandson came into his study, came into his room, and he was crying. And he asked his Einikel, he said, you know, Yingele, why are you crying? And he said, listen, I was with my friends. I was playing hide and seek. I was the boy hiding. My friends were seeking. And I've been hiding in this cupboard for 10 minutes, half an hour, an hour. And I realized there's something wrong. Either this is a really, really good hiding place, all my friends have started playing something else. And eventually I walked down and I realized my friends had given up. And they had gone to do something else, and I was hiding here for hours, no one was looking for me, and Nebuchadnezzar was so upset. And Reb Baruch HaMezhbuz heard this, he started crying, and he said, Bashefa, this is exactly what's happening with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiding his face. But like the story we said last week from Baal Shem from Mechelstadt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hiding because he wants us to look for him, he wants us to seek him out. That's what Purim's all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a hest upon him, but he wants us to realize that behind the hest upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and he wants us to find him. So, let's go to the next question we asked, which is that the Gemara says, Mikan Moidoa Rabba the Doiraisa, and the Gemara says, Afal Pikain, Hodo Kiblua Bimei Achashverish. And the question we asked is, what does that mean? We said Nasa Venishma. What was the difference between Kabbalah HaTorah at the time of Har Sinai and Kabbalah HaTorah at the time of Bimei Achashverish? So I'd like to share two ideas, one a basic idea, and then perhaps elaborate on that a bit. You know, sometimes, I'll give you an example. You know, last week, we write the Chazubonai sheets in Chazon. So we asked the question about Amalek. What's the Chiyuv? It seems so, you know, against Western morals and ethics. Goes against, you know, everything Western morality stands for, to go to an entire nation and wipe them out. Right? Anoshim, Noshim V'taf. You know, hard for us to understand. And various other things in the Torah, right, which is very, very hard for us to understand, right? There's a concept of slavery, again, because we're growing up in the 20th or 21st century, there are things which seem to go against our basic understanding of how we think the world should be run. And many, many other things in the Torah, which when we learn them, it's difficult to understand. And it's difficult to understand, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Furthermore, you know, often we think, you know, What would I have done had I written the Torah? You know, what would I have done had I created the world? I'd allow everyone to sit around, have a good time, eat, sleep, be merry, you know, have good food. What do you need to have a Yetzirah? What do you need to have all these fights, all these battles? Or what's necessary? Let people have a Geshmaka Olam Hazeh. Now we know there's a purpose for us fighting the Yetzirah. It shouldn't be Namad Chisuf for that. We should ultimately earn our reward in Olam Haba. We shouldn't be like beggars, you know, asking for a reward, but rather we should somehow earn our schar. And of course, without going too deeply into all that, there's a reason for everything. But we sometimes think deep down inside, you know, I know better. I would have done it differently.
But if we don't fight the Yetzirah, we're not going to get Olam Haba.
Yeah, but sometimes we ask, you know, why did Hashem have to make the world to be like that? Why did He have to create the world in a way where we have a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Toiv, and we can only get Olam Haba if we fight the Yetzer Hara?
I'm answering questions in general.
Oh yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm not saying we can ask those questions, but sometimes deep down inside, people have these questions and people think, you know, why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem do that? Why does the Torah say this? Why does the Torah say that? Etc. So what happened on Purim? So you know, yes, Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma at Har Sinai. They said Na'aseh V'Nishma. The question is, how far did that Na'aseh V'Nishma go? How far did that really, did that Rotzen, did that Kabbalah go? On Purim, we saw, on Purim we realized how HaKadosh Baruch Hu connects the dots. We realized how he controls all our events and all our actions. And we saw it afterwards so clearly, how everything was the Yad Hashem. We held up our hands and we say, Hashem, you know best. You know, we understand, we saw the Chochmah behind everything. That was the Hodak Kiblo B'mei HaChashverosh. Realize that our intelligence is limited. You know, we think we know better. We think this is what the Torah should have written. This is what how Hashem should have run the world. Shkoyach. Hashem's telling us, you know, as you said, I know better. Right? I know better. And we saw that in the Nes of Purim. And we thought everything was going one way. Hashem was making it go the other way. That's the Hodar Kiblu B'mei HaChashverosh. We accepted it B'ahava. We realized, yes, we might not understand everything with our seichel, but ultimately everything makes sense. I'll just add an idea that I saw from the Altar of Kelim, and he says as follows. He says there's two ways of fighting the Yetzirah. He says we have seichel, we have a Yetzirah. What's our Yetzirah? Our Yetzirah is our seichel. If we think about schar and einush, and we think about what's waiting for us, olam haba, we realize what's our tachlis in life. We need to use our seichel. The problem is, our seichel is far-reaching. It's looking into the future. It's looking into our long-term future. You know, what do we want our long-term to be? What's our Yetzirah? Our Yetzirah is our instincts. You know, our impulses. We want to do this now. So we've got a battle of our seichel, our Yetzirah, which is looking into the future. And we've got our impulses and our guf, which is the Yetzirah, which is the present. So he says there's two ways of fighting the Yetzirah. He calls it Kvishas HaYetzer and Shviras HaYetzer. Kvishas HaYetzer, he explains, is that your seichel is so strong and your understanding of what your purpose is in life is so strong that vanquishes, that overcomes, that's kovish your impulses and your instincts. But that's very difficult. So he says there's something called Shviras HaYetzer, which is to break the Yetzer. That's to trick the Yetzer. You know, the Mashkichim will say, you know, if you learn an hour of Gemara, tell yourself, I learn an hour now, I learn half an hour now, I'll treat myself with a chocolate bar afterwards. What does that mean? It means you're utilizing your impulses, you're utilizing your Yetzer, right, for the good. Yeah, you're so to speak, tricking your Yetzer. You're using those instincts, those things, to use it for the good. That's called Shviras HaYetzer. So he says, when it came to Matan Torah, we had the element of Kvishas HaYetzer, which means, by Matan Torah, we saw big Nisim Geluyim. But ultimately, we understood that the Torah, if we accept it, will get a lot of schar in the future. We didn't realize that every minute of every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. When it came to the Nes of Purim, what's the Hodar Kiblu B'mei HaChashverosh? We understood that everything that happens in Teva, like the Ramban says, all Teva is Nes Nistor. All Teva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings. We just don't realize it. He says, by the Nes of Purim, we understood how everything which seemed natural was Hashem actually in control and giving us schar, giving us reward through the Teva. And therefore, says the Altar of Kelm, that was the Hodar Kibluah. What does that mean? We could now accept it by understanding not just that if we accept the Torah, we're going to get future long-term reward. But rather, if we accept the Torah, now everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, right, is schar or einush. We just don't maybe realize it at the time. That was the Hodar Kibluah. Does that make sense? That was the Hodar Kibluah. It wasn't something for future reward. I was understanding that everything that's taking place now is also rewarding. It works through nature sometimes. That's how we were shaver our yetzer. We broke our yetzer, that understanding. Yes, if I do the right thing now, I will just get reward at some point in the future. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings now. So we ask the question, why is it that when Mashiach comes, right, Yivatlu kol ha-miyadim, all the miyadis will be bottled. We have to understand what that means, right? For another time, yeah. We're not going to be keeping mitzvahs in the Torah when Mashiach comes. We have to understand what that means. Purim will still be around. When Mashiach comes, Purim will still be around. Why Purim? What specifically about Purim? So, the answer is as follows. You know, I'll give an analogy. When two people are in a relationship, and the relationship is strong, Baruch Hashem, it's a strong relationship. You don't always need the external trappings. You know, go to a fancy restaurant or go to a nice holiday. It's not necessary. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not necessary. Why? Because the relationship is strong. It's a strong relationship. When two people are in a weaker relationship, it needs propping up. It needs strengthening. Let's go on a nice holiday together. You know, let's patch things up. Not saying everyone goes on the holidays. I'm just saying that's the idea. The idea is the big flashy thing sometimes we feel we need when the relationship is, you know, on the rocks. Or it needs some strengthening. So the idea is as follows. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did amazing nisim for us. Amazing nisim. Kriyas Yamsuf. Yitzias Mitzrayim. But when did Yitzias Mitzrayim happen? When Klal Yisrael were at the lowest degree, right? Mem Tes Shari Tuma. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Ani Hashem. Look, Ani Hashem. The basic of all Emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did tremendous nisim for us. He says that. So the idea is, says the Vilna Gaon, or says the Medrash, that idea, those nisim, are going to pale in comparison to the nisim that will happen when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be such amazing nisim gloom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal himself. And the nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, all the other nisim, will pale in comparison. Do you know what won't pale in comparison? The nisim that took place, Bederech HaTeva, in a time of Golus, in a time when perhaps we didn't understand it was happening. That strength of the relationship, the fact that even when we're in Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking after you. You may not realize it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there, pulling the strings. The Nisim of Mashiach won't override that, because it's a whole separate type of Ness. The Nisim of Mashiach will happen in a time of Gilui. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal himself. That won't override that sign of how close we were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout all the years of Golos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still pulling the strings for us. And that's why when Purim comes, all the other Yom Tovim will become bottled. But Purim will still be around. Because that does not get overridden. That does not get, you know, usurped by the Nisim of Mashiach. That's a whole different type of sign of our relationship. So we asked, where does Mishleach Monos and Matonis Le'evyonim come in? Where does it come in? You know, Chaim Shmulevitz has the following idea. The Rambam says, how do we reach Avas Hashem? How do we reach Avas Hashem? Says the Rambam, if somebody would be mispoiling in the Bria, look at the sky, look at the trees, look at the birds, look at the mountains, look at the oceans, look at the beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made. Use your seichel, be mispoining. You can reach Avas Hashem through that. Wow, Hashem made this beautiful world just for me. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, when it comes to Ben Adam Lechaveroi, it's the same idea. He says, if you were truly mispoining in another human being, you look out for his qualities. You don't just look at his chesroimus, but you look out for his mailas. He says, by really being mispoining and trying to understand another person, that's how you can reach, you know, avas Yisrael, avas chaveru, to really love another person. Look out for his mailas. When it comes to Purim, Rav Huttner gives the following moshel about drinking on Purim. He says, two very old friends, haven't seen each other for decades, and they finally meet at a train station. Wow, Yankel, Heschel, haven't seen each for so long, and they meet each other, they hug each other. Wow, amazing, it's been decades. Yankel, where are you going? I'm going to Minsk. Heschel, I'm going to Vilna. Ove. The trains are going in different directions. We've just met each other, we haven't seen each other for decades. What are we going to do? Says Yankel, I've got a great idea. Let's go to the train drivers. Give them a bissel mashke. Get them drunk. Stall the trains. Don't try this at home. Right? stall the trains, and we can stay here on the platform for a few hours. We can spend some time together. Says Rav Yitzchak Huttner, same idea on Purim. Eden, at the core, we're all holy. We've got hilig and neshamas. But our guf, sometimes we don't see each other's neshamas because our guf gets in the way. The external trappings, we see each other's chitzonius. We don't realize each other's pnimius. And therefore, on Purim, have a little mashke. Get the guf out of the way. It's a meeting of neshamas. It's a meeting of understanding. Another Yid, the chilek elakamimal. That's why he says the idea of getting drunk on Purim. And therefore we send Mishleach Monis, Matonis Le'evyenim. We know that the Kitrug on Klal Yisrael was, Haman says, Yeshnei Am Echad Mufuzim Mufarid Beinu Am. The Kitrug was that Klal Yisrael weren't together, there was a period. On Purim we bring back those neshamas. We do it through drinking. But it's the same idea. The idea is that what we think is our real intelligence is really just artificial. We just see chitzonius, we see people, we see their chisroinus, we don't see their neshamas. Purim is a time to really be mespainen, to understand that what we think we know the whole year round is not the essence. It's not like we don't really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. We don't understand our fellow Eden. Purim is a time to really understand. Let me finish off by demonstrating how these midas, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, versus everything have to go in my way, I have to understand everything, played out so much with Haman versus Mordechai and Esther. Let's start with Haman. Haman, we know, perhaps one of the most self-centered and egoistic people to have ever existed. Everything had to work out exactly to his plan. We know that Purim is called Purim because it was Hippil Pur, right? Haman, based on the zodiac, when's the best time to kill the Eden? Haman tells Achashverosh, Yeshno, like we just said, Yeshno, I'm Echod, Mufuzo, Mufarid, Bein, I'm the Chomdina. What did he leave out? Yeshno, I'm Echod, Mufuzo, Mufarid. Just say, I want to kill Klal Yisrael. Yeshno, I'm Echod, Mufuzo, Mufarid. Says the Vilna Gaon, Haman was scared, he was very Eiskecheshbin, right? He was very thought out. He was scared that if I tell Achashverosh that I'm planning on killing Klal Yisrael, there's going to be some high up people, you know, APAC, whatever, right? I'm going to defend Klal Yisrael, and they're not going to allow me to fulfill my wishes, so I'm going to do it very sneakily. Yeshnei am echod, mufuzo, umufayrod. He never says it's the Yidden, which, by the way, was part of the Atzola. Because he never said the Yidden, so therefore, eventually, when everything reversed, so, and they never specified the Yidden. So the Yidden had the craft to fight back, because it wasn't like they were nigzar lemisa. Yeah, the Chasima was there, but it didn't say the Yidden. It said, Yeshnei am echod, mufuzo, umufayrod. And perhaps what brings us out the most is when Haman, when Megillah tells us as follows. Megillah tells us that Haman can't find it now. But Haman, it says that Mordechai lekom v'lozov, like he wasn't mishtachve to. Yeah, no. But when it says v'chol ze inesho, that's at the end of Vav, I think. Okay, I can't find it now. But we know that Haman, Mordechai doesn't bow down to Haman. Haman has everything he can possibly want in the world. Every single person in the entire Malchus is bowing down to him. One alter yidl. One old man called Mordechai is not bowing down to him. Says Haman, perhaps the most egoistic, most self-centered words a person can say. V'chol zeh in enoshoyveli. It's worth nothing to me. Right? It's worth nothing. All the prestige, all the honor. Tigonish vet. Why? Because there's one alter yidl who's not bowing down to me. Everything has to go my way. If one person's not bowing down to me, it's all over. The Vilna Gaon says, why did Zeresh tell Haman to run early in the morning to Achashverosh? In case anyone goes and scuppers the plan and puts in a good word for Mordechai, make sure everything goes the way you want it to go. Which again, led to the fact that Achashverosh saw Haman lurking in the courtyard, and he's the one that had to lead Mordechai around on the horse, which is all part of the nest. That's Haman. Now let's talk about Mordechai and Esther. You know, Mordechai did something very unpopular. Not bow down to Haman. Put the entire Klal Yisrael at risk. He fell towards Asa. If it's Asa, it's Asa. It's unpopular. You're endangering the whole Klal Yisrael. He didn't make cheshbonos. He did the right thing to do. And the Ibn Ezra says on the Pasuk says right at the end of the Megillah, V'rotzu l'roiv echov. What's V'rotzu l'roiv echov? He was liked by most of his brothers, Mordechai. Right? So you know what you call a backhanded compliment. He was liked by most of his brothers. What's V'rotzu l'roiv echov? Dorish Tov Lav. What's V'rotzu l'roiv echov? Says the Ibn Ezra, Ki ein yecholes ba'adam lehisratzos l'kol echov. It's not possible for a person to please everybody. Everyone thinks, you know, poor Gabby in the shul. Every person's got an opinion. Everybody, you know, wants the shul to run this way, wants the shul to run that way. Ein Yehudi sheyidroish mimenoi sheyaselei toiv rak hu ma'atzmoi hayodoyrish laseis toiv lahem. He was doyrish toiv l'chol amai. Modcha tried his best to be doyrish toiv for everybody. But other people's impressions of him was v'rotzui l'roiv echot. Mordechai wasn't trying to become Mr. Popular. He was trying to do what was right. Now let's talk about Esther. You know, Mordechai tells Esther not to reveal where she comes from. Not to tell Achashverosh who she is. Now Esther assumes, we know that Chazal tell us that Esther was hidden away for 3 years. And Esther assumes that Mordechai is nervous that if it gets discovered that he had hidden her away, he's going to get put to death. He was worried for his safety. Then when Esther sees how much honor and how much prestige Mordechai is getting, he's sitting in the Chatzar Beis HaMelech. He's being so honored. So Esther could have easily thought to herself, okay, doesn't apply anymore. Say that. Mordechai is getting so much honor. Doesn't matter. Her seichel may have told her, go one way. But Mordechai told me not to say. She didn't say. She would mevatel her seichel to Mordechai. After the gzeira, Mordechai tells Esther, go beg Achashverosh, right, to repeal this decree. What does Esther say? She says that, I can't do that. Why? Because anyone that goes into the Beis HaMelech who doesn't get called, gets killed. You have to have an invitation to go into the Beis HaMelech. Furthermore, she says, that I haven't been called in now for 30 days. I'm definitely going to get called in at any moment soon. And the Gezeirah is only 11 months away. There's plenty of time. What's the rush to go in now? Why should I risk my life to go in now? What's the rush? And Mordechai answers as follows. Mordechai answers, Ki im hacharish tacharishi bo'eis hazois. Right? If you hesitate, if you don't go in, revach v'hatzolo yamid la'yehudim. The Yehudim will get a Revach Vatzalah. The Mokim Achir, they'll get it, don't worry. Va'at ubeis avich toivedu. You and your father's house will be lost. What's ubeis avich? Who's Esther's father's house? Says the Alshich. Esther, we know, was Esther's ancestor was Shaul HaMelech. What happened with Shaul HaMelech? After we just read in Shabbos. Shaul HaMelech had great intentions. Shaul HaMelech said, listen, let's kill all the people. We'll leave Agog and make a spectacle out of him. The behemoths, will keep some behemoths to use as korbanos. It all makes sense. Why not? I'm doing Hakimaisius Dvar Hashem, the Pasuk says. I was Mekayim the Dvar Hashem. Why are you Mekayim the Dvar Hashem? Or are you Mekayim what your seichel tells you should be the Dvar Hashem? Is what Shmuel asks Shaul. Right? As Shmuel says, just listen to what Hashem says. Says the Alshich, this is what Mordechai is telling Esther. You can have all the greatest cheshbonos. You haven't been in for the last 30 days. The gezeirah is only 11 months away. You might get killed. Listen to what I say. But if you don't go, if you do go in, you can misaken what your elder Zayda did, Shaul HaMelech, by thinking that he knew better. At a base of Vich Tevedun, you have the chance now to be misakin what your ancestors did. That's what he was alluding to. Just to finish off, perhaps, we know that besides for Esther Minatari Minayin, it also says Haman Minatari Minayin. What do Chazal tell us? Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh. Very strange. What's Hamin Ha'etz Hazeh? Right, Odom Harishon, 8 and 8, Hamino 8 says it. So very briefly, I'm going over time. Very briefly, what was the Chit Odom Harishon? Very, very briefly, Odom Harishon had the best cheshbon. Odom Harishon said, I want to be able to be Beicha, Toiv and Ra. I want to bring the Yitzhar inside of me. I want to earn more reward, earn more schar. He had very, very good cheshbon. The problem is, Hashem told him, don't eat from this eats. You can have the best cheshbonus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat from this eats. That was Homon Harosha, Hamin Ha'it Hazeh. That's the middah of Homon and Amalek versus the middah of Modchai and Esther. Modchai and Esther, even if we don't understand certain things, it might be unpopular and we don't understand, but we do what Hashem tells us. Homon, everything has to work his way, right? Hamin Ha'it Hazeh. Make all his cheshbonus, make all his cheshbonus. Okay, much more to say. That's also the Chet HaEgel in this week's Sedra, Kisisa, right? The Eden had all the best Cheshbonus, etc. But that is the lesson of Purim and all the questions we asked and all the answers we gave. That ultimately, throughout the year, we have great Seichel and we prize our Seichel. We prize our intelligence. It's the most Choshev Matona HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us. But on Purim, we understand that Hashem knows best. We understand that Chochmas Hashem, right? Ki loy machshavayis machshavayis seichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands. He knows, and therefore we mekabel Torah bi'ahav. We accept the Torah willingly. We realize that it might not make sense, but ultimately it has to make sense. And we drink, and we get rid of our perceived intelligence. We realize that everything's artificial on Purim, and we understand that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always protecting us, and He knows best. Afri lechem Purim.
I guess eventually they would have announced which who this is. But at the time of the proclamation, seeing had the Mordechai called the Milongon, had the Mordechai find out if it was a proclamation.
The Rambam definitely says that originally he said Yeshne Am Echad before Zemafari because he didn't want Achashverosh to know who he's talking about.
Excuse me,
so could you say that the Yitzhak Levin is the Yitzhak? Yes, the Yitzhak says, and Shvirus Hayet says, you're wanting to help him.
Rami, I'll miss you. Tell me how it went.
Anybody driving up against it today?
Josh?
opportunity to get rid of some of my vouchers.